Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings. Nahastan anila nijone go shavothya, nijone go shavothya. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Yeah.
music from the drum Young Gray Horse off their 2004 Canyon Records CD, Powwow Songs Recorded Live in Browning. That song was a grass dance. The grass dance originated from the time when Great Plains Indians would make new campsites as they followed the buffalo. Scouts would prepare the village site by pushing down the prairie grasses with their moccasin footsteps. This grass dance not only created a place for teepees, but was also an expression of appreciation to the grasslands, a type of prayer to the land and buffalo that sustained them physically and spiritually. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Today's broadcast is Program 6 of Wolf Mountain Radio's series on climate change and energy justice. This program shares conversations with participants from the 2009 Florida Statewide Power Shift Conference. My first guest you will hear is Miss Jessie Moore Thomas. Jessie is a young African-American woman who, like me, is also a professional ecologist and activist. We both believe in using our knowledge of science for the well-being of all life on Mother Earth. Program 6 is a continuation of our previous conversations. Power Shift is a national campaign of more than 300,000 young people across the country who are calling for bold, serious action on climate change and energy justice issues. Yad Kiddushi Native Center endorses this campaign. Global climate change and energy issues have long been major concerns of Yad Kiddushi Native Center. An important priority of mine has been encouraging and mentoring young people to think globally and act locally on many serious planetary justice issues. This is why Yad Kiddushi Native Center networks with many organizations, campaigns, and protests, such as Power Shift. I felt honored to be invited to speak at Florida Power Shift 09. It was a privilege to meet many fine youth activists concerned about global climate change and energy justice. Yad Kiddushi Native Center, like many indigenous peoples throughout the world, have long been speaking out about the many serious problems impacting Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Humanity is living during a critical time in our planet's history. This is why our Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices programs focus on many important global issues that need serious attention. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, Indigenous peoples have tried for many years to warn the international community about many serious ecological issues, especially global climate change and abusive energy development. Exploitation of energy resources have greatly impacted Native peoples throughout the globe. The history of colonization and now globalization has been fueled from the greed of energy development. Indigenous peoples have made numerous declarations about climate change at various international forums, such as at the United Nations and to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. A Native woman, Sheila Watt Cloutier, former chairperson of the Inuit Circumpolar Council, an international organization of Indigenous peoples of the Arctic, shared the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize with former U.S. Vice President Al Gore for their work on global climate issues. In 1998, as a journalist, I attended a national climate conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico, hosted by NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. This NASA summit was special and historic in that many Native peoples were invited to present testimony. The Albuquerque Declaration and Native Peoples, Native Homelands Climate Change Report entitled Circle of Wisdom is still a very important reference. There have been many other international declarations by Indigenous peoples about climate, such as the Carioca at the UN Conference in Environment and Development in Quito, Ecuador, in Lyon, France, at The Hague, Netherlands, in Milan, Italy, in Kyoto, Japan, in Bonn, Germany, in Nakuru, Kenya, Africa, at the Indigenous Nationalities of the Amazon, and the April 2009 Indigenous Peoples Global Summit on Climate Change in Anchorage, Alaska, are important examples. Unfortunately, the wisdoms and knowledge of Indigenous peoples about climate change is a voice that is still not respected enough by governments, industry, and the world citizenry that seems to ignore anthropogenic global climate impacts. Power Shift is a project of the Energy Action Coalition. EAC was founded in June 2004 to unite a diversity of organizations in an alliance that supports and strengthens the student and youth clean, just, and renewable energy movement. Power Shift is known for mobilizing thousands of students and youth to rally in Washington, D.C., to pressure the White House and Congress for a strong and comprehensive climate and energy plan. Power Shift's goal is for U.S. energy policy that creates a renewable energy economy with millions of new green jobs, ends dependence on dirty, polluting energy, brings America security, protects the environment, and reduces harmful global climate change pollution. The work of the Energy Action Coalition is so timely in view of the upcoming Global Climate Conference in Copenhagen, Denmark. Unfortunately, many nations, after important international conferences, do not fulfill their pledges or honor agreements made. In view of this, people must continue their climate and energy justice activism beyond Copenhagen. Yad Kitishi Native Center urges our listeners to become active in climate, energy, and environmental issues. Consider joining Power Shift. Sign their petition against dirty tricks by the fossil fuel and nuclear energy companies and their lobbyists. Urge President Obama and members of Congress to create safe, clean, renewable energy and climate policy. Participate in regional conferences, statewide symposiums, and local events in support of energy, environment, and climate justice actions. There are many fine organizations like EAC that will welcome your involvement. Remember, think globally and act locally. In 2006, I participated in a Florida statewide meeting of college students guided by EAC's Campus Climate Challenge to encourage universities to invest in renewable energy. Florida Gulf Coast University, where I am a lecturer and curriculum advisor, has signed the American College and University President's Climate Commitment. FGCU is also constructing a 2-megawatt solar energy project on campus, which will reduce Florida Gulf Coast University's use of polluting fossil fuel energy. I generally support this alternative energy project. However, the 16-acre solar field has generated much controversy that you heard about in Program 1 of this Climate Change and Energy Justice series. Institutions of higher education must show leadership on energy and climate issues. Greening of college campuses by reducing, reusing, and recycling should become a priority. It should be standard practice for colleges to conserve more energy and utilize safe, clean, and renewable energy technologies. Reducing a school's ecological footprint will save money. It also will be an example to society of how communities can create a healthier and sustainable future. An example of this is USGBC LEED Certified Energy and Environment Design Buildings. A good example is Florida Gulf Coast University's Demonstration and Learning Center Green Building Project that is nearing construction. Green Building incorporates a number of important key concepts in design, construction, and maintenance. These include energy efficiency, passive designs, recycled and renewable building materials, water usage, waste management, healthy indoor environment, and landscaping that protects and restores the site by planting native vegetation, which can be habitat for wildlife. The green building will showcase sustainable building standards and practices. Importantly, it will serve as a training center for engineering students and the construction industry. Universities as centers of education and research must also promote energy and environmental sustainability by their academic mission. Curriculums must include critical energy and climate issues. Courses must be interdisciplinary so that students learn about the serious global problems we are now faced with. Florida Gulf Coast University's Center for Environment and Sustainability Education, where I serve as a member of the center's Board of Advisors, pedagogy is focused on ecological literacy and planetary citizenship for a sustainable and peaceful future through scholarship, education, and action. FGCU's 9 student goals and outcomes and promotion of the International Earth Charter exemplify the type of education needed for the 21st century. As I welcome Jesse Moore Thomas to Wolf Mountain Radio, I wish to read a statement from the Earth Charter, which I think exemplifies a philosophy those of us in Power Shift believe in. Quote, "In the midst of a magnificent diversity of cultures and life forms, we are one human family in one Earth community with a common destiny. We must join together to bring forth a sustainable global society founded on respect for nature, universal human rights, economic justice, and a culture of peace." Unquote. Jesse, welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio.
Hi, my name is Jesse Moore Thomas. I am here at Florida Power Shift here at University of Central Florida. I'm here because I very much care about the environment and clean, renewable energy. To renew the energy and the environment is to renew ourselves and our relationship with the environment, and I'm proud to be here.
Jesse, people throughout the world who are very concerned about global climate, energy, economic, environmental, social justice, and sustainable development issues are focusing on the important upcoming United Nations Climate Change Conference in Copenhagen, Denmark. COP15, the formal name of the upcoming December 2009 UN Framework Convention on Climate Change Conference, is, as Connie Hedegaard, president of the UN Conference, has expressed, that the summit is a window of opportunity which should not be missed. Minister Hedegaard further said that if the world fails to deliver a political agreement at the UN Climate Conference, it will be the whole global democratic system not being able to deliver results in one of the defining challenges of our century. Global climate change and energy development are planetary problems that threaten the well-being of all life. Each day that these abuses continue results in more harm to human health and our biosphere. Global climate change is at such a critical state, many question whether or not there is enough time to deal with the consequences of anthropogenic impacts to our Earth. This is why the Copenhagen Summit is so important. Sadly, many of us active in climate, energy, environment issues are not so optimistic that COP15 will result in a meaningful treaty. There was a lot of doubt about whether countries will implement an agreement from Copenhagen. Indigenous peoples in particular, who are the most victimized by and are the least responsible for climate impacts, will once again try to voice our concerns in Denmark. I hope the world will hear Native peoples' warnings and calls for action. I urge people interested in Indigenous peoples' perspectives to read the Anchorage Declaration from the April 2009 Indigenous Peoples Global Summit on Climate Change, which is posted on the UN University website, www.unu.edu, under UNU's Traditional Knowledge and Global Climate Change page. The December 1997 Kyoto Climate Treaty fell far short of what was seriously needed to deal with climate change. Even back then, Kyoto provisions were not even entered into force until February 2005. Many governments never funded the climate protocol. The United States was not even willing to sign or ratify the Kyoto Treaty. It seems even with great international scientific consensus and growing support by civil society, getting nations to cooperate together on global climate change is a difficult challenge. Jesse, what are your thoughts about the upcoming United Nations Climate Summit in Copenhagen, Denmark?
My thoughts about Copenhagen, it's about 49 days away, maybe almost. Starts December 6th, and I think it ends December 18th. And questionable that Obama might not be there. It kind of disheartens me because we are 5% of the population here in North America, and we use about 25% of the resources. We need to have our voices heard. Greenpeace has already been doing a lot. We need to make sure that we have great representation here, because here's a little tidbit. It is said, pretty sure on this, that Senator James Inhofe is going to be there, and he is a man who was funded by oil. He's also on the committee for climate change. A man who believes it's a hoax might be there representing us. I don't have confidence in a man who doesn't believe in global warming and going to represent us at a climate conference. I really do believe that we need to have our voices heard and keep on speaking up and speaking out. And I'm calling out the older generation, the younger generation, anybody who's here who cares about the planet, who cares about your lives. Climate change affects us all, and this time right now is a critical point because the glaciers are melting at a crazy rate. There's fires all year long in California, and people are saying we want to adapt and mitigate to that. I don't think people want to adapt to having smelling fire ashes in their nose, or, you know, people in Sydney seeing drought. I think that is very crucial and critical, and it's an inconvenient truth that we all are facing, and to deny it, not be going on the road to, you know, fighting against climate change. It's that we're at a crossroads. We gotta keep on going, and we gotta keep on rocking together and unified. We gotta march onto Copenhagen with a confidence, with a great representation, not Inhofe. That's my thoughts.
Tick, tick, tick. Climate change is having a real impact on the lives of individuals and communities around the world. We must do something about it. In December in Copenhagen, our leaders will have an opportunity to come up with a robust post-climate agreement that is viable and will help make this planet a better place.
While our beds are burning. Timbuktu. Lamin village lives in breeze, fighting the fight they breathe.
The time has come, yeah, 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 to take a stand. It's for the earth,
and words from the Time for Climate Justice campaign spokesperson Kofi Annan, former United Nations Secretary General. The song was a rewritten adaptation of the band Midnight Oil's 1987 song Beds Are Burning, whose lyrics spoke about supporting Aborigine rights in what is now called Australia. This new song was created to be a global musical petition to demand climate justice at the United Nations Copenhagen Climate Summit. It was produced by the recording company The Hours. The project included many fine artists from around the world. You also heard a brief remark from South African human rights activist Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Desmond Tutu, recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize in 1984, is also a climate justice campaign member. Please visit the website www.timeforclimatejustice.org for more information and ways to become a climate justice ally. Kofi Annan, now president of the Global Humanitarian Forum, at the release of this Beds Are Burning for Climate song, said, quote, "Climate change is the greatest humanitarian challenge facing mankind today, and it is a challenge that has grave injustice at its heart. It is the major developed economies of the world which contribute to the overwhelming majority of global greenhouse emissions, but it is the poorer and least developed nations that are the hardest hit by its impact," unquote. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kadishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. You are listening to Program 6 of our special series entitled Climate Change and Energy Justice. My guest today is youth activist Jesse Moore Thomas. We spoke together at the 2009 Florida Power Shift Climate and Energy Justice Conference. Jesse, the issue of diversity within the climate, energy, environmental movement is an important topic that concerns me greatly. It is crucial for justice movements to be much more inclusive of people of different cultural, racial, gender, age, geographic, and socioeconomic backgrounds. This is the focus of a Power Shift workshop on Organizing for Environmental Justice that Angela Cisneros and I will be hosting this afternoon. Currently, many progressive groups are still predominantly white, middle-class folks, as evident from this power shift conference. Very few people of color and women are in positions of leadership, especially in so-called mainstream groups. Furthermore, many aspects of an issue that are important to minorities are not on the agenda of groups that are largely Euro-American. Some climate, energy, environment groups now have a diversity or environmental justice project. Still, it is often the least funded and least staff campaign of the organization. While a woman or person of color may be the director of an outreach initiative, cultural diversity is often a very low priority of the climate, energy, environment organization. These reasons are partly why the National Environmental Justice Movement came into being in the late 1980s that I had the honor to be involved with in the establishment and leadership of. This is why I've tried to encourage many young people of color to become professional environmental scientists. In 1993, for example, I was an advisor to the Environmental Careers Organization's Diversity Initiative. That program was designed to increase the presence and number of people of color working in the environmental field through outreach, education, and paid internships. I also had the privilege, through my colleague, Dr. Colette Hopkins, former director of Historically Black Colleges and Universities, HBCU, Environmental Justice Programs, to meet with many African American students in encouraging scholarship and careers in environmental sciences. I have also advocated this at meetings of the National Indian Education Association and at various tribal colleges where I've had the honor to visit and speak. You, as an African American woman, and I, as a Native American, know that issues of racism, xenophobia, class, and ethnicity are interrelated when dealing with what is termed white privilege. I think people of your generation are much more open and honest to talk about ethnic, class, and gender privilege than people of my generation. I very much appreciate this. However, to be truthful, as a person of color, I've not always felt totally welcome at conferences whose participants are predominantly white. I believe in and have devoted many years to building alliances between people of color and white environmental groups. However, at times, being one of only a few people of color activists at an event, it has been hard to work with Euro-Americans. Jesse is a black woman and one of the few African-American ecologists. I'm sure you have experienced this as well. What are your thoughts on the topic of diversity and multicultural coalitions?
Okay, to speak about it, I felt that the same way. I was just like, you know, in my group in eco-advocates, I would just say, great that they're doing all this. It's amazing. And I was like, where's the other black people? Or, and I went to Power Trip 2007. I saw, you know, the black people there and everybody. It was amazing unity. And you know, it was like, there's no color here. You know, it's rocking on. So I think it comes with greed and so-called wealth, in the sense like the top wealthy people forgetting about the bottom. Going up from the bottom up is what we're trying to do. We're trying to create wealth from the bottom up. There's these three terms called eco-apocalypse, eco-apartheid, and what we're trying to get to is eco-equity, where everybody has a chance at being green. I'm glad I just had the workshop with Danny Washington, who's an amazing fellow for Green for All, which was headed by a former CEO of it, Van Jones. On the DVD, she shows a DVD of Van Jones talking about how, even though it's amazing to have all this Green for All and everything, it's one of the most racially segregated of all. The wealthiest purposely forget that we got to build from the bottom up. And I think, as a black woman, they had this sort of ego towards me, towards all people of color, that, hey, they can't do anything. Yeah. I definitely don't agree with that. I have a mind and a heart of my own and a spirit, and I can do anything if I put my mind to it. And to me, there is no color. And anybody who says that towards me, yeah, I challenge you.
How then do we break down these serious barriers of racism, prejudice, and xenophobia.
I think first through nonviolence, it starts with the grassroots, starting off from there, going to our local officials, maybe who are probably predominantly white also, and saying, we are united and we're trying to break down the barriers, outreaching to low-income places, showing, hey, we have a voice here. There's way more of us than them. We need a power shift here. That's why I'm definitely here. Outreaching and organizing, having meetings, and that really does work, yes.
White is a tool that was made by a nation to justify slavery and colonization. Divide up the world into an us and a them, the primitive animal savage and the civilized human. Race is a story we're told, embedded deep in the brain. They call it natural order, but it's socially ingrained. Systematic exploitation by division of the people, and the some were made as slaves to serve the ones created equal. First thing they conquer is their own people's minds. The colonizer's the first one to be colonized. We're born with pale skin and they tell us we're white. Playing some Olympian darkness and this child will walk in light. What color is God in our pictures? And what is the color of sin? If two came to your door, one pale, one dark skinned, who'd be the first one that you would let in? Guilt tries to run. Complicity demands we undo what's been done. Name our history, find the courage to rise. Shout it out loud. With bold, angry cries, no more white lies. We're the wealthiest nation on earth, so they say. Where did this wealth come from? So the labor of slaves, all those who suffered and toiled and died, feeding the hunger of rich white man's pride. Who works in our orchards, who picks our fine crops, who sweats in our sweatshops, who pushes the mops, who rots in our prisons for the crime of their skin, who dies in our wars so that others can win. Who lived here before us, and who stole their land, and who are the heroes of Custer's last stand? Who wrote the history books, who makes the rules, and who mines the ore for the master's own tools? Shame hangs his head, guilt tries to run. Complicity demands we undo what's been done. Name our history, find the courage to rise. Shout it out loud. With bold, angry cries, no more white lies. Well, I am not racist, many white folks have said, but racism's not just a thought in your head. It's the privilege we wield when we walk down the streets, and don't have to fear each white cop that we meet. It's the power we're handed from the moment of birth, when we're told our pale skin is our measure of worth. Colorblind is a code word for the problem's not mine, 'cause white folks got the privilege to say everything's fine. It's in the history of our families and the stories that we bear. It's in the small subtle perks along the way that got us there. It's in all the shit we never went through, all the pain we never felt. It's in the stacked deck of cards and the hand we were dealt. You know you used to be Irish or Italian or Basque. Call up your grandma if you can and just ask. We traded history for power, tradition for slaves, paired our pride with the bodies and the unmarked graves. Shame hangs its head, guilt tries to run. Complicity demands we undo what's been done. Name our history, find the courage to rise. Shout it out loud. With bold, angry cries, no more white lies. So who's really to blame? It's not easy to say. And of course those in power wanna keep it that way. This trouble runs deep to the core of our souls. We were formed by the power that our ancestors stole. Is it the structure or the person that keeps racism alive? Well, it's both, and they're nourished by the great white lie. We gotta struggle on the inside, gotta struggle on the out, 'cause struggling together's what solidarity is about. Shame hangs its head, guilt tries to run. Complicity demands we undo what's been done. Name our history, find the courage to rise. Shout it out loud with bold, angry cries. No more white lies. No more white lies. No more white lies. No more white lies.
Music from Ethan Miller and Kate Boverman, off their Riot Folk CD. The name of that song was White Lies. The global climate crisis can be the catalyst for how humanity must live by a planetary ethic that promotes caring for the well-being of Mother Earth in all life. If we don't change the ways in which we abuse our biosphere, an example being destructive energy sources, and if the political economic power relations that are most responsible for climate change, then the lives of billions of people will suffer. Already, many indigenous peoples, like those in the Arctic, Pacific Islanders, in Africa, and even in South America, are being affected by global climate change. Some 192 nations, most being poor third world countries, like those of South Asia and Indian Ocean states, have a lot at stake at the upcoming United Nations Climate Summit in Copenhagen. Many North Americans don't take global climate change seriously enough. Most people in the United States are not aware of how our affluent, energy-consumptive society negatively impacts the rest of the world. This is why power shift means more than using safe, clean, renewable energy. Power shift means understanding and changing our energy paradigm. Jesse, would you please share your comments on this?
My comment on would be probably, since we are so responsible for climate change and we don't really see, you know, in our own individual terms, we might be like sort of like a small footprint, but altogether aggregating and accumulating the more than 300 million people that live in North America, I think it's important to change your own individual lifestyle and influence others and communicate with them. I think it's ignorance and also not being exposed to it yourself, like about the Pacific Islanders and media not telling you. It's something that you have to do yourself, actually, sometimes, like go out and seek out what's going on with the climate. And I actually get feeds from treehugger.com or even climateimc.org, climate indie media, to see what people are doing. And I think that we need to alert our governments that we're affecting people, like the people in the Cassavetes who are, you know, have to move to another place because they're being exposed to malaria or their island is sinking. I think it's a global citizenship, and I think that's something that we've lost. We've lost that, and I think that's something that we need to gain back. It's really just looking at yourself like, wow, I really do make an impact as a human being.
Jesse, I want to thank you for sharing your insights with our worldwide listeners. I also thank you for your work in trying to defend Mother Earth and create a better future for all life. I always like to ask my program guests if they have any final words they wish to express.
I would say do with what the time you have here on Earth as much as you can, because it's just a blink. We have so much here in America. We love excess, and I think we need to actually recognize this excess can be given to somebody else. We don't need it all for ourselves. And also realize the outer physical things around you, like a fancy car or the newest gadget or what is that rapper wearing or whatever. That's not happiness. That's not going to progress you onto something better. The happiness is within inside you, and it's so clear. It's so right in front of you. You get clouded by the things that distract you. For instance, like reality TV or something like that. That's my last notion, because if you're not settled yourself, how can you help others?
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, A production of the Yat-Kitichi Native Center. Yat-Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat-Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat-Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat-Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat-Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat-Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat-Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat-Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat-Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat-Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat-Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat-Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat-Kitichi Native Center, write to Yat-Kitichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat-Kitichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
Well, dear friends, as we approach the end of our broadcast time together, I wish to remind everyone of how important it is, wherever you live, however you can, to work for the well-being of Mother Earth and all life. Humanity faces an uncertain future if we don't protect the planet from the many impacts we human beings inflict upon the biosphere. The world's climate is at a critical point that needs immediate action. Please contact any of the fine organizations that are working for a better world through climate justice. Several groups are Power Shift, Campaign for Climate Justice, Friends of the Earth, and Indigenous Environmental Network. The concept of Power Shift goes beyond the sources of energy we use. Power Shift also means a paradigm shift of how we humans treat the earth and each other. This is the message I hope my program on climate change and energy justice speaks to. We shall conclude today's program from a special CD entitled Gathering, Native Alaskan Music and Words, produced by Nightwork Records. The name of the song, performed by the Native band Medicine Dream, is Ketukmukuk, an Inuit word meaning over the waves. I featured this song to highlight how many indigenous peoples around the world, like the coastal Arctic Inuit, are now experiencing the effects of global warming of the Arctic sea ice, threatening their way of life. What's most upsetting, these cultures are not responsible for the pollution that is causing global climate change. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinonwantakwasin, to all of our relations. Thank you.